Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As many of us know from our own experience, there are a number of things that people find uncomfortable. Things that are uncomfortable to even talk about. And among those things is money. That seems to rank high on the list, doesn't it? It is a subject that many of us would rather not talk about at all. And while money itself is not good or bad, how we use the money that we have been given is the issue that can make us feel so uncomfortable. And for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, how we use our money is perhaps a good indication as to our true spiritual condition, because it reflects our priorities, our priorities in life, and perhaps it even reflects what is in our heart. And in addition to that, our preoccupation with money can have a disastrous effect on our lives, because it can make us forget about God and we begin to trust in our bank account more than we trust in the Lord. And though money can be used in a variety of ways to buy things that we need, to buy things that perhaps we just want to have, giving our money to the Lord, giving to His work and for His kingdom, is the pathway to blessing. It is the pathway to the blessing of God. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you in good measure, like grain that has been pressed down and shaken together and running over. In the same way, blessing will be poured out into our lives for whatever measure we deal out to others, it says. It will be dealt out to us in return. So we are to give generously. We're to give generously to the Lord, and we will be rewarded in the same way. We will be rewarded by Him. But as it is true today, so it was also true at the time when Paul wrote these letters to the people in the church in the city of Corinth. For many people, giving is looked at as an obligation, even as a painful obligation, and not necessarily as a privilege. And so sometimes we limit the blessing of God in our lives because we limit ourselves as we limit our giving. And it is this subject of giving that Paul addresses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in chapter 9. Paul was concerned about a very specific financial need within the church. But it was not a financial need within the church in Corinth. It was a financial need within the church in Jerusalem. From the time that the church began on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, there was great distress and great difficulty there. There were thousands of people who had come to that city for the Passover feast, and after many of them had come to Christ for salvation, many of them just never left the city. They stayed there. They lived there. But as you might expect, they had great difficulty finding employment there. And after a short amount of time, there was great persecution against the followers of Jesus in that city. And so the local Jewish residents who had also come to Christ lost their businesses. They lost their jobs. Many of them lost their families because of their faith in Christ. And in addition to that, the Romans continually extracted a great amount of taxes from the people there, leaving them with next to nothing to live on. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, a great famine has spread throughout that region. And after a while, those followers of Jesus who had money or who had land ran out of money. They ran out of resources. And so they could not help one another get through that difficult time. So the Apostle Paul was determined to take up a collection for the church in Jerusalem, a collection from among the Gentile churches in Asia Minor and in Greece. Because in his mind, in addition to helping those brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem, it would also strengthen the bond between those Gentile believers and those Jewish believers who were now to be one in Christ. So on his third missionary journey, Paul encouraged those churches to set aside funds which were to be brought to Jerusalem to express their love, to express their concern for the believers there, so that their desire for unity would be seen in a practical way. And you might remember that in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul had asked those believers in Corinth to collect those funds on the first day of the week, every week, when they came together for worship and for fellowship, for the ministry of the word and for the Lord's Supper. And now, a year or so later, here in 2 Corinthians, the subject of giving of those funds has come up again. And so Paul says to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in regard to the subject of giving, we wish to make known to you," norizo in Greek, "we want to draw your attention to this. We want to draw your attention to the grace of God," hadas in Greek, "to his favor, to his blessing, which has been given to the churches in the northern part of Greece, that is, in Macedonia. Specifically, to the church in the city of Philippi, and to the church in the city of Thessalonica, and to the church in the city of Berea. His grace is at work in their hearts. They are so grateful for the work that he has done in them and the work that he continues to do in them. They are so thankful for their salvation in Christ that their gratitude is overflowing in their lives. They have taken the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:33 very seriously. where he said that we are to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then things like food and clothing will be supplied to us by him, just as he supplies all that the birds of the air need to live. The churches in the region of Macedonia had their priorities straight, didn't they? Even as those churches found themselves in a desperate situation, a desperate economic situation. The Romans had taken over the mining of gold and of silver there. They had even taken over the mining of salt. They had taken over the lumber industry. And so they had left the people in that area, the people in the church in that area, in a great ordeal, doke me in Greek, in a test of affliction, thlepsis in Greek, a test of pressure. There was great pressure, and the pressure that they were under was revealing something. It was revealing their true character in Christ, as most trials do. They may develop character, but really what they do is to reveal our true character. And Paul says their character was seen in the abundance of their joy in the Lord. Despite those conditions, even in their deep poverty, tohia in Greek, even though many of them had been reduced to nothing more than just beggars, economically they'd reached the bottom of the barrel, but still they were rejoicing. Paul says they overflowed like the banks of a river. The perisuo in Greek, they abounded far beyond their situation in the wealth of their liberality. Haplates in Greek. They did not waver, but instead they were single-minded in their generosity. As it says in Philippians 4:19, they were confident that God would supply all of their needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And so in the simplicity, in the purity of their devotion to Christ, their overwhelming desire was to please him in all things. The attitude of their heart was their desire to align themselves with his perspective on what was really important in this life. And that desire transcended even the extremely difficult circumstances of poverty and, yes, of persecution. These things did not diminish their devotion to Christ. And Paul comments on this fact in verse 3, where he says, I am an eyewitness to these things, and so I can confidently testify to the fact that according to their ability, and even beyond their ability, they have given to the work of the Lord. They had so little, and yet they had given so much. They gave out of their poverty. They did not give out of their excess. And there was no pressure put upon them to give like that. Paul says, no, they gave of their own accord. Autheritas in Greek. They gave voluntarily. They gave willingly, of their own initiative. They gave as they were led by the Lord. Even begging us, Paul says in verse 4, pleading with us with much urging, insisting that we give them the opportunity to help, the favor, charis, the blessing of participation, koinonia, the blessing of partnership, the blessing of fellowship, the blessing of having a part to support, to help support the saints, the believers in Jerusalem. People whom Paul had met, but people whom they had never met. And this desire on their part was not at all what we expected, Paul exclaims in verse 5. But they first gave of themselves to the Lord. They yielded themselves to him. They yielded themselves so that they might be used by him in whatever way he chose to use them. That was the priority of their lives. And Paul says they also dedicated themselves to us as well, as servants of the Lord by the will of God. So, in thinking about their example, Paul says in verse 6, when Titus recently came to you, we urged him to bring this fact, this information, to your attention, that as he had previously made a beginning with you the last time that he was there, a year ago, that at that time you began collecting a contribution for the believers in the church in Jerusalem, and you did well. Well, now we've asked him to remind you to pick it up again, to complete this gracious work of giving. And God will enrich you. He will bless you, just as he has blessed the churches in Macedonia with grace upon grace, with blessing upon blessing. And so just as you abound in everything, in faith, pistis in Greek, in faithfulness to the Lord, in utterance, logos, in sound doctrine, and in knowledge, gnosis, in your understanding of the things of God, and in all earnestness, spoude in Greek, in all diligence, in all spiritual passion, and in the love of Christ, love that we inspired in you by our example. Now see that you also abound in this gracious work of giving by their example to you. I'm not speaking this to you as a command, Paul says in verse 8. No, because giving is to be from the heart. Giving is to be as to the Lord, as he leads us. But I call upon you to give evidence of your love, to give evidence of your obedience through the example of the earnestness, of the diligence of those in Macedonia. Follow their example, and show the sincerity, nesias, the genuineness of your love for Christ and for those who belong to him. The true test of love is not just feelings. It is not just good intentions. It is not just words. But the true test of love is action. So, the sacrificial giving by the churches in Macedonia should not only be an example for the church in Corinth to follow, should it? but it should be an example for us to follow as well. But in verse 9, Paul points out there is even a greater example of giving for us to follow. And so he says, as believers, you know well the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are well aware of how he came down from the glory of heaven and how he gave his life to pay for our sins. And that act of kindness, that act of sacrificial giving, defines what true giving is really all about. Because though he was God, though he was rich, receiving the worship and the praise from all of heaven for all eternity, yet for your sake, he became poor. And he took the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man. And he humbled himself, it says in Philippians chapter 2. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross, so that he might free us from the chains of our sin, so that now we, through his poverty, might become spiritually rich in him, in our salvation, having now made peace with God for us through the blood of his cross forever. That truly is our example, isn't it? The example of how we are to live, the example that we are to follow, the example of liberality, the example of generosity and of joy in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.